In the first 2 days of the retreat, we did not take the 8 precepts, but instead we said homage to the Buddha 3 times. From the 30 onwards, we are now taking the 8 precepts, so we take it for granted and infer that we are also paying homage to the Buddha by taking the 8 precepts. For this retreat, the main theme of the Dhamma talk, the official title is called Dharokhanda Pama Sutta. It literally means taking the example of a wooden piece or a log floating in the Ganges River. Lord Buddha pointed to that log and then said that if some conditions are met, such as not being stuck on this side of the shore or not being stuck on the other side of the shore, then the log will freely float along the Ganges River into its final destination, which is the ocean. Using that as an example, Lord Buddha says that the monks and followers who practice should also make sure that they do not get stuck on this bank, or they do not get stuck on the other bank, then they will definitely reach their destination, which is Nibbana or liberation. So what do we mean by stuck on this bank or stuck on the other bank? Searo also explained that by that we mean we do not get attached to the 6 sense doors, the 5 physical senses and the mind, which is similar to being stuck on this side of the river. If we get attached to the actual senses, then it is similar to being stuck on the other side of the bank. So, for the example, instead of explaining all the 6 sense doors, Searo used the first one, using the eye and the sight to explain what it means to get stuck and how to prevent from happening. So if one gets attached to the sense doors or to the senses themselves, then defilements known in Pali as kilesa will arise. And you know the different kinds of kilesas, the common ones being lobha, greed, dosa, anger, and moha, delusion, and so on. So they can appear if one gets attached. So what is important is the yogis should just, when they see something, then they should just concentrate and note on that fact and not go any further. Searo explained that the thing that we say seeing is actually can be broken into 4 occasions or opportunities for most people. The first one is the seeing process itself. And in the seeing process, Searo has analyzed that there are 14 distinct steps, of which the 7 steps is where the wholesome deeds or unwholesome deeds take place. At that moment, if the yogi is aware only of noting, then he will be observing what is known as the present sight paramattha. Meaning, paramattha means the ultimate truth. The yogi will be seeing things as they truly are at that very moment. And if you observe like that, then because it is void of piñata, it is also not possible for any form of kilesa, defilements to arise. That is why you are instructed to note things incessantly and to note carefully, because that is the first chance where you can try to prevent kilesas from arising. But beginner yogis and most people cannot do that because they have been used to noting piñata or concepts. So what happens is, the next thing is called the first phase of contemplation. Then, after seeing things, people will start wondering about that stuff. So there is a thinking process. So Seattle likened it to be now, it is still paramattha. It is still ultimate reality, but it is now the past, because the event called seeing has already taken place. You are now just taking a look back at that thing which happened. But there are still no piñata or concepts. And if the yogi is able to note that, then the yogi has the second chance to prevent the defilements from happening. So these are the first two occasions that yogi should strive not to get the kilesas. But most people just continue and they start seeing and start thinking about shapes and forms, which is known as the second phase of contemplation or inference. At that time, because people start thinking about shapes and forms, then it is likely that there can be attachments. People might love it, people might hate it, and people might not clearly see what they truly are and might have delusion. But Seattle says that if such defilements appear, then it is your third chance to make sure and say, okay, I have not noted carefully, I am now seeing these defilements, but let it stop at that very moment. So now you are facing and seeing kilesas at that very moment, so that is your third chance. But people will not stop further, and then maybe they continue into the third phase of inference or contemplation. There, not only they see the form, but they will say, okay, I know that name, I know that neighbor, I know that person, and so on. Here again, there are piñatas, more concepts, and so with that, it is more likely that you also get some more kilesa defilements. Here again, since you cannot prevent them from happening, the best course is to make sure they end it right there and then. So in the previous lectures, Yaro has said from not only from literature what is happening. When you see, there are four phases, seeing itself, the first contemplation, the second contemplation, and the third contemplation. But the main idea or target for Vipassana practitioners is just to have the first two phases and say, not let defilements appear. But if they cannot do it, then they have to strive it to make sure that they get disappeared in the second and third contemplation phases. So these are the things that Seattle has mentioned in the previous discourses, and this is a long but good summary for those who haven't heard before, and it's also a revision for those who have heard. So what does it mean to practice Vipassana meditation? It is to see the true nature of things, to see things as they really are, and then also question yourself how, why, and so on. There are rupa, physical, and nama, mental phenomena, and every one of them has its own trait, mark, or characteristic. The Pali term is called lakkhana, and there are three kinds of lakkhana. And Siara will explain the three characteristics in detail. The first one is called Savava Lakkhana, which is loosely translated as individual characteristics. The second one is called Thinkada Lakkhana, the ability to see things happening and disappearing and so on. And the third kind of lakkhana is known as Samyanya Lakkhana, where one sees the true nature of things, that is known as anicca, impermanence, dukkha, unsatisfactoriness, and anatta, no self, no control, and so on. Actually, there are other things as well, like ratha, essence, and so on. But here, Siara will only explain about the characteristics. So, what are the bhava lakkhana? It means every physical and mental phenomena has its own characteristic or individuality. Just take the day-to-day example. When you see somebody, how do you know that it is someone? Probably you recognize the face, you recognize the eyebrow, or you recognize some distinguished marks that will identify as that person. So in the case of physical and mental phenomena, there are also similar characteristics that will identify them, who they are. So that is the first phase. So the question now is, when should you observe the bhava lakkhana? When? The answer is the present moment, or exactly when it is happening. So the yogis are instructed to observe the rising and falling of abdomen. So what happens if you just note at the very moment? In the beginning, you might not be aware, but if you persevere and practice hard, then gradually you will see the true nature of things. You will see or note stiffness. You will see the movements and so on. So the characteristics of the elements, as Siara mentioned before, includes stiffness, fluidity, motion, cohesion, and so on. You do not need to know the terms, you just have to be aware of what's happening. If you practice with vigor, viriya, and sati, awareness, and then if you are thin, you might be able to note that what you think is just something will actually be a sequence of the beginning, a middle, and an ending. You will see every phenomena happening, sustain for a while, and then diminish and disappear. It is important that the yogis do not actually try to find out where the beginning is, where the middle is, or where the end, because some yogis have tried to do so, and in order to give this extra effort, then they lose their target and they get befuddled and they lose their concentration. Vatsyara means that even though the phenomena has a beginning and the end, you don't have to say where it begins and ends. You are just like an observer, noting it, and then you will see clearly that every phenomena has a beginning, sustains for a while, and has an ending. So that is important. And if you are able to see it at that very moment, at that very instant, then you have observed the first characteristic known as sabhava lekhana. Now, what happened is, if you note there, then you know firsthand that everything appears and disappears. You can see in your own, say, when in the interview, that you note something happening and note something ending. The Pali term for that is called udayavaya, meaning everything has arises and ends, appears and disappears, and so on. So when you note that things appear and disappear, then you have observed the second characteristic known as sankata lekhana. So now you know that everything has a beginning and everything has an end. And by observing it, then you know the other thing as well. You know that things are not permanent. It is known as anicca. And you also know that if things are not permanent, then there is no need for them to have attachment on them. And if things are not permanent, then there is likely to be suffering and unsatisfactoriness. So now you note firsthand, not from hearing or from reading the literature, what is dukkha. You know firsthand, that is important. And also you note that even though you don't want things to happen, they happen by themselves. You cannot force them to end. You can just note, it is your duty to note, and eventually it will disappear. What does it mean? It means that you cannot have control over the things, and that is known as anatta. So now, just by noting things as they truly are, you first observed the sabhava lekhana, the individual characteristics, and then you note that they commonly always have a beginning and an ending, and also from there on, you note that there is impermanence, there is unsatisfactoriness, and there is no self, no control. All these things you observe yourself. And Sayadaw says that he has seen so many yogis when they try to tell them that they have seen things by themselves, not just listening or reading in the books. They get delighted. They find a more good reason to practice because essentially they have gained some inside knowledge. The inside knowledge means just to know things as they truly are. And so, with due practice and due diligence, without naming names and without naming concepts, you should be able to observe the three characteristics. In summary, they are known as the bhava lekhana, individual characteristics, sankata lekhana, the ability to see that things have a beginning and an end, they appear and disappear, and samyaya lekhana, where you see the true nature of things, known as anicca, impermanence, dukkha, unsatisfactoriness, and anatta, no self, no control. So with that, you should be able to have piti, joy, elation, satisfaction, and then renewed vigor in your practice. So the ultimate aim of vipassana meditation is to know the three characteristics. But beginners, yogis, will find it difficult to observe these. So they should just concentrate and note things as they really are, because it takes some time and effort to get insight knowledge. So although they are physical and mental phenomena, beginner yogis are much more easier to start with the physical phenomena. And if they can note physical phenomena and see the true characteristics of the physical phenomena, then they would have made some progress. So, but physical phenomena, it refers to stiffness, cold, heat, tension, fluidity, and so on. Just as you are observing the rising and falling of abdomen, you will note the physical phenomena happen, and then you will understand and know firsthand what their true nature characteristics are. And if you note carefully and repeatedly, then you will be able to start noting that there is also the mental phenomena. Whenever you note something, there are two things happening: the physical phenomena that you are noting and the noting mind. The noting mind is called nama, is a mental phenomena. And if you practice, then you will be able to see when the abdomen is rising. You will not just note the rising of abdomen, but you will also note that there is a noting mind as well. Likewise, when you are noting the falling of the abdomen, you will also note the physical and mental phenomena associated with the falling of the abdomen. Here again, there are no piññatta concepts, but instead there is paramatta, true nature. Here the paramatta, the ultimate truth, says that everything is a collection of physical and mental phenomena. There is no such thing as a person. There is no such thing as an individual. There is no soul or no self, which is also called atta. And anatta means there is no such thing. So once you reach that stage, then the yogi is able to discern clearly what is physical phenomena, what is mental phenomena, and you know clearly and you are able to discern what it is. Then you are said to have no more deity. It means a lot of people who do not practice vipassana meditation may have delusion and a false sense, saying that there is an I, there is self, there is soul, and so on. But when you practice vipassana meditation and you see for yourself clearly that there is no such I, no person, no self, no soul, then you have said to have cleansed or eradicated the deity. So the technical term is known as deity vidodhi, meaning you have purified or cleansed your deity wrong view. And you know that not only there is paramatta in the past, in the present, and in the future, there will always be this physical and mental phenomena. So Sierra also wants you to know that there are different kinds of withholding or purification. You have taken precepts and you have observed morality, so you are clean. And that state of is known as sila visuddhi, meaning you are purified using morality. Then you start practicing vipassana meditation, and in the beginning you note that you think about your home, your family, your friends, your work, and so on. You note that your mind is wandering all the time. Your mind is fluttering. So it is not stable. It is unstable. So it is very difficult to know the true nature, such as physical and mental phenomena. So what do you need to do? You have to be awareness. And if you just note clearly, then in the beginning, you might be able to note for 5 or 10 minutes without your mind wandering. Then you will be able to clearly see the true nature with the falling of the rising of the abdomen and the falling of the abdomen. You will also note that you are cool and calm, and you have concentration known as samadhi. And with samadhi, your noting becomes stronger, and it is less and less likely that there will be unwholesome kilesa deeds such as lobha, greed, dosa, anger, and moha, delusion, and so on. Because with your noting, you are given no chance for all these defilements to arise. Then you know that you have a very clear, clean, peace, and tranquil mind. And that state is known as citta visuddhi. You have purified the mind. And with that mind, you just see things as they truly are. You know the senses as they appear, and you know the actions, and so on. There is no longer diffusion of your thoughts. There is no scattering of the mind. There is no lobha, dosa, moha, kilesa, mental defilements. So you have observed firsthand citta visuddhi, a cleansed mind. So now you have sila visuddhi and you have citta visuddhi. And if you practice more, as Yara mentioned, once you observe and note and able to discern physical and mental phenomena and know their difference, you have no longer a right, wrong view or deity. So you have also observed deity visuddhi. So with this, the yogis will practice and will gradually note and experience firsthand what the sermons are. It's not just the noting, but to observe firsthand the characteristics and also to get samadhi, concentration, and ultimately get knowledge, also known as insight knowledge. And you should also be happy and delighted that when you are practicing vipassana meditation, you are accumulating a lot of merits. They are kusala, wholesome deeds. You have listened attentively to a series of sermons taken principally from Dharokhanda Pama Sutta, the sutta, the discourse which explains the example of a log floating in Ganges River, and which Seattle has given the subtitle that you can get liberated just by noting. So while noting, let's get liberated. You have listened to the Dharma talk. You have also practiced dana, charity, taken precepts to practice morality, and you have also tried to practice vipassana meditation, even though you know that the practice is not simple and there are a lot of things to endure and so on. But you have done it knowing that you will reach ultimately what you want most, that is mega phala jnana, path, fruition and liberation. And with that, we end today's Dharma talk.
Sadhu.